Are you tired, frustrated, and feel stuck? Are you a high-performing business professional, entrepreneur, and you are not getting the results you desire, or you hit a ceiling? Have you been around the block and tried many modalities? You are in the right place. The answer, my friend, is in the little-known Brain-Soul Connection. Welcome to the Brain-Soul Success Show, where we learn, explore, and create your dream life. Your host, Louise Swartzwalter, created a five-part mind-body-soul methodology that clears the subconscious blocks to success. You are a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. The seed of all you need is already within you. From engaging transformational interviews, brain-soul success stories, and secrets shared by health, wellness, and spiritual experts, you will reconnect, revitalize, and transform your powerful life. It's time for you.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Brain Soul Success Show. Hey, I am really excited to introduce you today to Dr. Anshul Gupta. We just met, but I have to tell you, I've watched a lot of his YouTube videos, and he is an authority on thyroid. So he is a best-selling author, a speaker, a researcher, and a world expert in Hashimoto's disease. He educates people worldwide on reversing Hashimoto's disease. He's a board-certified family medicine physician with advanced certification in functional medicine, peptide therapy, and also fellowship-trained in integrative medicine. He's worked in the prestigious Cleveland Clinic Department of Functional Medicine along with Dr. Mark Hyman. He's helped thousands of patients to reverse their health issues using these concepts of functional medicine. His dedication towards his patients was recognized when he was awarded Reader's Choice Best Doctor in the Northern Neck area. He is now on a mission to help 1 million people reverse their health conditions. We kind of share our goal there. I got the brain one. I'm doing the brain. You're doing the thyroid. To achieve this mission, he has written a bestseller book called Reversing Hashimoto's. He's also started a virtual functional medicine practice, a blog, and the YouTube channel so he can reach more people. His blog and YouTube videos have already reached 2 million people worldwide. Hey, congratulations on all the work you've done and welcome. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Gupta.
Thank you so much for having me over here. You know, it's an honor and a pleasure being here. The work that you are doing is phenomenal. So it's actually my pleasure and honor to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited to dive into this. So how did you even get started working with thyroid issues?
Yeah, so actually, you know, I think we all have our own personal journeys into this alternative field of medicine because I was a very traditionally trained conventional family medicine doctor. And just a few years after my residency, I was doing a family medicine job and I started having my own health struggles. So I started gaining weight for no reason. You know, I was having this horrible, horrible stomach pain, which will hit me randomly at different parts of the day or the time. Mm-hmm. And I was brain foggy. Like at the end of the day, I was not able to concentrate on things, not able to remember certain things. So all of these things were happening and I had no idea. I was only 32 years of age and these mm-hmm. things were happening. You know, I started treating myself with certain medications to get rid of the stomach pain or improve this brain fog, but it was not working. Mm-hmm. I thought I'm not a smart doctor, so I took help from other smarter doctors than me, uh-huh. you know. But like the gastroenterologist, you know, the allergy specialist, you know, different studies were done. Endoscopies, ultrasounds, blood work, everything came back normal. They had no idea what was going on with me. They added more medications in the thought that maybe that is going on or that is going on. Nothing was working on. That's where, like, you know, I was 32 years of age and without any hope of getting better. And I was like, really, I have to live the rest of my life, like taking or randomly experimental medications with no results. So that's where actually somebody suggested me to find functional medicine because they said, well, people like you who don't find any answers are the people that go to functional medicine. So that intrigued me into functional medicine. I got certified into it. Then I started applying the protocols into my own life. Saw phenomenal results. Just few changes into my lifestyle, into my stress management, taking certain supplements. Within 1 month, my stomach pain was completely gone.
Nice.
Within 6 months, I was off all medications. I lost more than 40 pounds during this time. My energy levels improved dramatically to the point that I even participated in a 5K rugged maniac. And I was never an athletic person in my life. So for me to do that was a really, really big thing. So that was the start of my functional medicine journey. Then actually, you know, like I wanted to share this message with people around me. So I was looking for opportunity, and that's where the opportunity came to work, you know, at the Cleveland Clinic Functional Medicine Department with Mark Hyman, because he wanted to research into this model of care. So I joined over there. And then what I realized was that I was attracting these middle-aged females with very similar symptoms as mine. You know, weight gain, you know, brain fog and stomach issues. And the common denominator was that they all had thyroid problems. They were all taking medications. They were all following what the doctors wanted them to do, but still not feeling better. So that prompted me to do research into why, you know, like Hashimoto's and thyroid people are not getting better. What else can be done about it? So I kind of, you know, through my research, you know, I kind of made a protocol, implemented the protocol in several females and saw great results again. You know, definitely each and every person saw improvement in the quality of life. A lot of them were able to reduce their antibodies, and several of them were even able to get off the medicines. So that was a big aha moment. So that, okay, well, you know, this is my life journey that I need to help all of these females with thyroid and Hashimoto's disorders so they can get their life back. So that's where my journey into thyroid, I wrote a book about it so that people are more aware of it. And now that's what I do, just share as much research-based information for people with thyroid to get better.
Oh, that's so awesome. You know, it does come from our own personal journey, doesn't it? So that's how you got into this whole area. You know, we started talking even before we got on the podcast, and I was thinking, you know, I wonder how many people really do. What is the statistic on that? How many people have thyroid, you know, imbalances today? What is that number?
So the problem is that we don't even know the correct number, because a lot of people go underdiagnosed with thyroid disorders because they have all the right symptoms. They like follow the symptomatology of it, but the blood work doesn't catch up until like several years later on. What is being said at this point of time is that, you know, every third person has some kind of thyroid disorders world over, whether that is hypothyroidism or hyper or Hashimoto's disease. But oftentimes they are like not diagnosed properly.
You know, I mean, when I look back on my whole journey, I was pretty sick too, but nobody picked up thyroid stuff. I mean, they picked up allergies and you know, chronic fatigue and MS and all those autoimmune diseases I had. But prior to getting those, I know, looking back now, it was kidney, adrenal, thyroid. It was all those organs were out of balance, you know. So you're right. So many people, you know, are undiagnosed with. So what are the symptoms and the signs so that if someone is, you know, people listening today, it can give them a heads up that, hey, you might want to get your thyroid checked out.
Absolutely. So symptomatology, let's divide them into two different sections. One is a hypothyroid and Hashimoto's people, where the thyroid is not functioning as best as it should be. So the symptomatology in those people are typically that, you know, they are gaining a lot of weight or not able to lose weight. And then they have mood changes that they're feeling depressed or anxious. They have a lot of brain fog. And then they are feeling tired or fatigued. They have gut-related issues, especially constipation, a lot of gas and bloating. They have a lot of menstrual issues, like, you know, irregular periods or infertility is a huge problem. PCOD or PCOS is another big problem with a lot of females.
Can you describe that for our audience, the label of that, the PCOS, what does that stand for?
So PCOS is basically polycystic ovarian syndrome, where basically, like, you know, your ovaries, you know, like are becoming more cystic and they're not ovulating. So that kind of creates a lot of hormonal imbalances with them, and they will have, most commonly they'll be diagnosed with the PMS-like symptoms, but then eventually they can have infertility issues because of that.
Absolutely. Gosh, that's huge. That's a huge problem. And then the opposite is hyperthyroidism. So what are the symptoms there?
Absolutely. So the either hyperthyroidism or Graves' disease, that's the name or terminology a lot of people know about it. Symptoms over there are like, you know, people are feeling really, really, really anxious. They are losing weight or unable to kind of, you know, maintain their weight. They are feeling hot, like, or hot flashes a lot of times, several mood changes. They are always on a roller coaster ride. They have high heart rate that or irregular heartbeat. Those are the most common signs and symptoms of hyperthyroidism.
And you know, I've heard this too. So can you describe this to us? Can people go back and forth between hypo and hyper?
Yes, they can. So the reason behind is that, you know, like inflammation of the thyroid. So our thyroid is responsible for making thyroid hormone, and a lot of it is stored in the thyroid gland. So suddenly our body gets triggered because it gets exposed to a lot of triggering things. And, you know, it causes us to become hyper, because then our thyroid, once it opens up, it releases a lot of thyroid hormone, dumps the thyroid hormone in our body. That leads to hyper. Now, because our thyroid has dumped all the thyroid hormone, now thyroid takes a long time to produce new thyroid hormone. And then they can go to the hypo side of it. So typically in Hashimoto's disease, we see it a lot of times that initially they present with hyper symptoms, but then eventually, because the thyroid gets burned out, they become hypo and they actually need the opposite medicine.
Oh, wow. That's a really hard thing to treat, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. A lot of people, because they go to the doctor, they suddenly are put on hyper medicine and they are feeling better. But suddenly a few months later on, they start feeling worse again. And now the doctor checks them and said, now you become hypo. So now let's put you on a different kind of medicine. So it's like a lot of people go to these roller coaster rides very often.
Yeah, I see that a lot. You know what is confusing for people, and maybe you can shed some light on this, is we don't have just one thyroid hormone, right? There's T3, T4, the typical ones that I know, but share with us what your knowledge is. T3, T4, and thyroid stimulating hormone, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So the cascade of thyroid hormone production, you know, it starts all the way in our brain. So our brain is a pituitary, which is a master gland, and that pituitary produces the TSH, which is the thyroid stimulating hormone. Now, it is not actually a thyroid hormone. It is just a signaling hormone that goes from your pituitary to your thyroid gland to tell your thyroid gland to start producing thyroid hormone. Now, your thyroid gland actually starts producing the thyroid hormone, which is the T4, which we call kind of an inactive thyroid hormone, because it circulates all over your body, and in the cells, it needs to be converted to T3, which is a more active form of thyroid hormone that your body can utilize. So these are the typical thyroid hormones. Now, we also have something called reverse T3, which sometimes our body can form reverse T3, which does the opposite of the regular T3. So if you kind of call the regular T3 as the gas pedal in your car, then the reverse T3 is the brake pedal. And a lot of people are not aware of reverse T3, and that can be a bigger reason of why they're not feeling good.
How do you work with T3? I mean, because I've seen this before in many of my clients, you know, is they end up on medication that works on stimulating the T3 to stimulate the T4. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I don't know what that completely looks like, because everyone still is so unique and different. But what are the typical patterns there? How would you work with that?
Right. So, I mean, we are still learning about like the thyroid diseases. And as you know, like before we started this like recording, we kind of discussed that unfortunately, the researchers are not looking beyond what we typically have right now for new protocols and things. So typical, you know, treatment is a levothyroxine, which is a T4 that has been given. Now, very, very recently, look, people have started giving just plain T3 hormone also, just typically known as like cytomel medicine things. Sometimes people give combination of T4 and T3. Sometimes people give just plain T3. And then we have these bioidentical thyroid medicines, you know, like NP thyroid or armor thyroid, which are majorly T4, but they have some component of T3 also in them. So depending on person to person and what their levels look like, the medicine can be chosen that way.
Okay. So, and then and there's blood tests done, obviously, to figure that all out.
Absolutely, yes. Again, you know, the blood test is a big controversial thing, because most of the people, the only blood test when they go to the regular doctors is this TSH. You know, the conventional recommendation is that if you check your TSH, if that is abnormal, then only you get a medicine. And even when you're on medicine, they only check TSH to make sure that, you know, you're on the appropriate medicine. Well, that is not reality. We need to check all the thyroid hormone, TSH, free T3, free T4. And then beyond that, we also need to know whether a person has Hashimoto's disease or not by checking the antibodies for it. The two antibodies to check for Hashimoto's disease, one is called TPO, which is the thyroid peroxidase antibody. And the other one is thyroglobulin antibodies. If you have any of these antibodies, then you have Hashimoto's disease. And Hashimoto's disease is an autoimmune condition of your thyroid gland. Basically, in this condition, your body is making antibodies, which is destroying your thyroid gland. And that is ultimately leading to hypothyroidism. So most people know that they have hypothyroidism or low thyroid, but they don't know the reason why they got hypothyroid. More than 70 to 80% of current people who have hypothyroidism, the real reason is Hashimoto's disease. And just imagine, conventional doctors are not even ordering the test to check for those things.
Right. So you're doing it through functional medicine. So I can see how you blend so beautifully, you know, your background, you know, in medicine as well as the functional medicine. Yeah. So can we do this without medication? Can you treat some of these issues with, you know, with herbs, with supplements, you know, mindset? What do you think?
Absolutely. So, I mean, again, it depends on person to person. A lot of people, you know, like who have had Hashimoto's disease, let's say for 15 plus years. Now, their thyroid might be destroyed to the point that they might need some thyroid medicine, you know, as a support, you know, like in the, like, you know, as a side. But some people, you know, who are very initially diagnosed or they are like less than 5 years of diagnosis, there is a high chance that they can manage this condition without any medications.
Okay.
What research says is that even when people are taking medicines, around 60% or more than that still continue to have symptoms, even though their thyroid numbers are normal. So that's a big chunk of people. And those are the people actually that, you know, like for them, unfortunately, the medicine is not doing the trick. And that's the reason they definitely need to work with a functional medicine doctor to go beyond what medicine can do and fix those underlying problems, which are the real reason beyond Hashimoto's disease that they need to fix it.
Right, right. And I know that I've worked with this too. You know, when I worked, I did a whole big talk on thyroid years ago and I was fascinated with it. Not as specifically and not the medicine part, more the natural part, if you will. And what I found is I found a lot of people with Hashimoto's had both protozoans and Epstein-Barr virus.
Absolutely. So, I mean, infections, you know, are very, very big triggers, you know, of Hashimoto's disease, right? Epstein-Barr virus, we have several research studies which confirms that reactivation of Epstein-Barr virus will lead to Hashimoto's disease. We have different parasites, you know, which are living in our gut. Again, presence of those parasites, again, can cause blastocystis is very common parasite, which is present world over. And we have research studies again confirming that blastocystis can trigger Hashimoto's disease. And similar to that, we have various other infections, you know, various kind of viral infections can cause it. Even candida in your body can cause it. So infections definitely play a very, very important role. And the problem is that these infections are not so severe that people will land up in the hospital because of that. You know, a lot of people will have had these infections in their life and they will forget about it because these are like minor illnesses. But they remain in their body. And sometimes when our body's immunity goes low, then the reactivation of these infections can cause it. So people have no idea why suddenly they're getting triggering of their thyroid or Hashimoto's disease, while in reality, it is all these underlying infections causing it.
Right, right. So I've seen that too. What about heavy metals? Is that another is that another piece of this?
It is. Toxins are a very major piece. Now, thyroid is like a sponge. Thyroid is one of the most sensitive endocrine glands in our body. Any kind of small amount of toxin that our body gets exposed to directly goes to the thyroid and gets deposited over there. And over the course of time and years, they reach toxic level. So we have research studies saying that lead and mercury specifically target the thyroid tissues, again, interferes with the conversion of T4 to T3, as well as interferes with the proper functioning of the thyroid gland. So definitely heavy metals are doing it. And the bigger toxins actually now we're knowing about is the mold toxins. The mold toxins causes inflammatory response in our body. And that inflammatory response completely destroys the thyroid gland at a very, very fast fashion. So that's the reason mold toxins, when we get exposed to it. And unfortunately, our environment is such that our houses, our living places, workplaces and things can have mold and we will have no idea about it. And that can again lead to SIRS, which is the chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And that SIRS actually destroys the thyroid gland and various other glands too, and then quickly can cause hypothyroidism.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting again. I'm thinking about my journey. When you're describing this, I remember I lived in Chicago and we had a little humidifier in our bedroom. And also real tight, like plastic on the windows when it was super cold in Chicago. And so we didn't even know we were creating a mold problem. And then when we went to sell that house, we pulled up the purple, I'm talking royal purple carpeting, because the realtor said, no, 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 you have to put in beige here if you want to sell this house. And there was mold under the carpet.
Wow.
And all those sinus problems and all that fatigue and all that, that was all the beginning of those autoimmune diseases for myself. Yeah.
Exactly. The problem is that we have not, probably like when you were going through this journey, nobody knew that this mold toxins was probably causing you to feel this way, right?
Yes.
It's very recent in the last 10 to 15 years is we have known about mold causing all the problems. Now, the interesting part is that for the last 30 years, we know that the mold can cause problems in animals, especially the livestock. We have research studies dating back to years for it. But nobody put two and two together that if the livestock can get affected by mold, human beings can also.
Oh,
so
wow.
Now realizing that, well, this mold toxins not only affects the livestock, it affects, you know, like the human beings and especially our brain. Basically, like people who have mold toxins will describe it like their brain is on fire. That's the most common comment that they will give to me. You know, they have brain fog. They are not able to concentrate on things. They are not remembering things. Or they're in the middle of the conversation and suddenly they will lose the train of the thought where they are going to. There's sudden mood swings that, you know, like they are like, you know, depressed in one point and the other times, you know, they feel anxious, they're feeling stressed out. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes these are like middle-aged, like females, and they've always been told, oh, well, you know, you have too much on your plate, you know, or either you are a young mom or you just went through menopause or, you know, like you are working at home as well as taking care of your parents. So you are just creating these things because you're stressed out. Well, in reality, you know, like they are not trying to be sick. In fact, something is happening to their body and this can easily be mold toxins, which is leading to all of these problems.
Yeah, again, yeah. And so many, that's so common. You're absolutely right. And then I asked about the heavy metals because I'm thinking of a client I worked with years ago who had her thyroid removed. She had thyroid cancer. She was from Thailand and she grew up in a lead mining community. So there was lead in the water. So it was lead and she was young. She had two little boys, lead that really destroyed her thyroid. And I remember she was actually sensitive to the thyroid medication. So we had to do like a thing where I treated her or, you know, worked with her on the sensitivity to the thyroid medication so she could absorb it because she had no thyroid. And she
Absolutely.
Was tired. She was really tired. She had two little boys to take care of. And then we found some herbal stuff that even worked better. But I still remember that story when I think about how many people are really affected by lead or heavy metals and how much it is affecting all their glands, their whole body, but their thyroid, especially if they're diagnosed with Hashimoto's.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that a lot of Asian countries, you know, like India, Pakistan, or like China or Thailand areas, their soil is contaminated with lead. So a lot of these different spices or food products or a lot of these products, you know, even like, you know, some Ayurvedic medicines which are coming from that area have lead into them. Now, I've at least seen three or four people who have gone to India and did those great Ayurvedic treatments and then they came back and they were actually feeling worse a month later on. We checked their lead levels and it was super high. So that's a big
interesting
issue that I see. So I always tell people just be careful, you know, obviously try to buy organic, try to know the source. Absolutely. I'm not saying that please don't go to India or don't do any Ayurvedic treatments.
Right.
I'm not saying that, you know, because I'm from India. So nothing like that. But I'm just telling people you have to be careful with these toxins. You know, the sources, we don't know these sources completely, right?
Right.
So it's very important to be make yourself aware and check, you know, like the good part is that, you know, now we have testing available to check the levels of toxins. So that will tell you exactly where your body is.
Yeah. Such good advice. I know I'm real picky about my spices. You know, I buy organic spices and I don't want them irradiated. And, you know, I'm like, yeah. Absolutely. Wow. You know, brain fog is such a big issue. And this is the Brain Soul Success Show. I mean, how do you, besides just obviously working with the whole body here, how do you work with brain fog? How do you help people with that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, as you correctly said, it is definitely a whole body approach, you know, that needs to be worked at, especially with the thyroid patients, right? Because their brain is on fire, so there is too much inflammation going on in their body, and that is definitely affecting the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So first we work on the gut, because if there is leaky gut, then the leaky gut definitely creates the leaky brain, and that is the brain fog that people go through. Mm-hmm. So working on the gut, the leaky gut aspects, obviously diet is a cornerstone. Beyond that are the supplements for the leaky gut. If they have overgrowth of bad bacteria or they have less amount of the good bacteria, then rebalancing the gut microbiome is really very important. And the third thing is rebalancing the gut immunity. What people don't know is that 70% of our immune system lives in the gut. So unless that immune system works great, you know, like our brain immune system also do not work. So we work on, again, rebalancing the gut immune system, and that internally obviously improves the brain functioning. So that's the first thing that we do, working on the gut. The second thing we start working on is the adrenal glands. Now, the adrenal glands are very important, not only for kind of creating the stress response, you know, in our body, but also supporting our brain health. All of these different adrenal supplements that we have, interestingly, all improve brain fog symptoms. Mm-hmm. So like supplements like ashwagandha, which has been used in Ayurvedic medicine for centuries, like rhodiola, again, which has been used for a long time, ginseng, you know, bacopa. These are all great adaptogenic herbs, which are basically working on the adrenal glands, but in turn, actually, they improve the brain fog significantly. So that's the second thing that you work on, improving the adrenal glands. And that's where actually stress management techniques or strategies are very important. Without them, people's brain fog is not going to get better. So I always tell people, develop some stress reduction techniques, whether it is meditation, deep breathing, or visualizations, or any of those things, you know, or working with a therapist is very, very important to kind of get your adrenals stronger and break that stress response. So that's the second thing, working on the adrenals. The third thing we work on is the mitochondria. Now, mitochondria is the powerhouse of our cell. You know, it not only gives energy to the body, but what people don't know is that the highest concentration of mitochondria in our body is actually in our brain. So our brain, you know, needs mitochondria to do all the functions. And what we have seen, especially in Hashimoto's or in thyroid patients, is that their mitochondria is very poor quality. So we need to improve the mitochondrial health, you know, to kind of improve their brain fog also. So in that, obviously, exercising is great, you know, doing a great anti-inflammatory diet is good. And then obviously there are certain mitochondrial supplements like coenzyme Q10 is great. Your B vitamins support the mitochondria. Your magnesium is very important for mitochondrial health. And then beyond that, there is L-carnitine, which can also support the mitochondria. So supporting the mitochondria is the another thing that is very, very important so that the brain fog can get better. And obviously, the last thing is reducing the inflammation in the body. Because as we discussed, the inflammation definitely is the key over here, because it is causing damage to not only the thyroid, but also to the brain. So again, anti-inflammatory diet is great. Anti-inflammatory supplements, especially antioxidants, are very important. In that, vitamin C is good. That again improves the brain functioning. Curcumin, you know, which comes from turmeric.
Yes.
There are several research studies which, you know, shows that that, you know, improves the brain functioning and obviously leads to an improvement in that. And then fish oil, the omega-3s, which are definitely have so many anti-inflammatory effects. They supply, you know, the building blocks to the brain cells. So those are another supplements that we use. So obviously this is like a big list of things. We don't use or don't recommend everybody to use all of these things. So it depends on person to person, is that where their major disorder lies, is that, you know, that's where the step is taken first.
Yeah, no, that's just really beautiful. Thanks for that list. You know, you're going down the list and I'm picturing my little supplement bags. And also what I help other people with. And I have taken many of those at different times. And, you know, I'm a protocol for that too. Describe, you know, give me a definition of the mitochondria.
So mitochondria is like teeny tiny organelle. You know, they are not organs, they're organelles, which are present in each and every cell of our body. Basically, like, you know, it's kind of, you know, if you go back to the evolution stage, when we were like single-celled organism, basically we were like bacteria or like very kind of teeny tiny organisms in the air. From there, the difference between them and our living beings right now and human beings is that we have mitochondria. So mitochondria was thought to be like a bacteria that kind of had a symbiotic association with one of those cells. And then suddenly they both realize that mitochondria can get energy from the cell, and the cell can utilize the mitochondria to actually grow bigger and bigger and grow more cells. And that's where the complex organisms of the whole animal kingdom actually came into being.
Nice.
So that's the importance of mitochondria. It's present in each and every cell. Without mitochondria, basically there will be no, like, you know, living organisms that we are living.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, I love all this stuff because I love the chemistry behind it, as well as, you know, as well as the practical, if you will, you know. And then I work with a lot of people, obviously, with brain fog. And like I said, I see so many people with thyroid issues today. I mean, gosh, it feels like just every other person has some kind of thyroid connection. What's the connection between, you talked about adrenal, is there a kidney involvement? Because I find sometimes it feels to me like it's kidney, adrenal, thyroid. How does
Absolutely.
That play?
Yeah, I mean, so kidneys are very important organs of our body. So they have made two major roles. One is obviously in detoxification, and the second one is also in mineral balance. Now, minerals actually do not get the limelight that the vitamins get in our body. Everybody's talking about vitamin D, vitamin B12, and all those things. But the other minerals in our body, like magnesium, like sodium, like potassium, calcium, all of these are very important minerals that kind of our body needs, whether it's a thyroid hormone production, whether your adrenals and everything. And kidneys play a very, very major role in maintaining that mineral balance. So first of all, like, you know, the detoxification. So as I kind of already explained, that toxins play such an important role in thyroid dysfunction. So these toxins get out of our body to these kidneys. So when our body is overwhelmed with toxins, our kidneys are not able to get rid of all of those toxins, and they keep recirculating in our blood. And the more they recirculate, the more damage they do to our adrenals and the thyroid. And the second is that, you know, like, the thyroid gland needs all of these minerals to actually produce thyroid hormone, which, as I said, is magnesium, the B vitamins, the iron. So that's the reason when your kidneys are not functioning properly, then they lose a lot of these minerals to the kidneys, and that causes one kind of deficiency. Your adrenals require good amount of sodium and potassium to produce cortisol, epinephrine, or epinephrine hormones. So that's the reason, again, when your kidneys are not working properly, then there is an imbalance between these minerals that affects your adrenals. So that's where this triad comes into place of the adrenal, kidney, and thyroid. So that kind of affects each other or feeds each other out. And the thyroid hormone actually also controls our kidney health, because the thyroid hormone, you know, has receptors almost in each and every organ of our body. And when, again, people have poor thyroid function, that can affect their kidney health, and again, can lead to poor functioning of the kidneys. And then obviously poor function of the kidney kind of feeds the thyroid and not let function better too.
Right.
So that's the reason all three are very well connected.
Yes, no, that's what I mean. That's what I kind of see, but I did know the whole picture of all of that, just how you described it so completely beautifully. And I do see that people are more low in minerals than they are vitamins, you know, today. And I kind of call the basics minerals, probiotic, and fish oil. And I think those are basics. And then beyond that, it's all the antioxidants and everything else you talked about. And certainly detoxing. You know, we've always got it. We have to be detoxing all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there is no way that you don't get exposed to the chemicals. Doesn't matter how much organic you eat, you know, like good air filters you use, whether you live like in the middle of the jungle, then also we will get exposed to some toxins. So that's the way, you know, like currently our earth is. And that's fine. But as you said, if we keep working on this detoxification at the regular intervals, that keeps our body in good shape and our detox system in good shape.
Yes.
So our body has this inherent detox system for a reason, right? Because it knows that we will be exposed to these external toxins. So that's the reason it has, you know, like we have it. And some people, it doesn't work as good as it should be. So that's the only problem over there. And that caused stagnation of these toxins. So again, like, you know, if you work on certain detoxification things, then your detox system works and keeps you in good shape.
Yes.
And obviously, like, try to eat as healthy as possible by buying organic, you know, like, as you said, like, you know, reducing the toxin burden, especially in females, you know, all these skincare products they use, you know, that's the huge, huge toxin load that is going inside their body through their skin, like each and every day. So again, like, you know, using more natural products this way is very, very useful in your household, clinic products, as well as the skincare products. That makes a huge difference, actually.
Yes, it does. I know I had to change all that like 33 years ago. 33 years ago, they didn't have any gluten-free cookbooks. They didn't know about this stuff, you know, but you're right. Go back to using, you know, the vinegar and the baking soda and the borax and stuff to clean your house, you know, no toxic chemicals in your house. Especially if you have children and pets too, you know, really be thinking about that. And then you're right, all the makeup, you know, all the makeup and all the skincare. I did a little skit years ago where you did the whole like morning routine and you were showing people all the toxins that you put on your skin in the first 5 minutes of the day, from washing your hair to the hair conditioner to the foundation to the deodorant with aluminum in it, you know, like the whole little skit. So, and today, you know what I love about today, Dr. Gupta, is we are so much more aware today than we were again 30 years ago. Look how far we've come. You know, when I first got sick 30 years ago, there were no functional medicine doctors or functional medicine nutritionists. You know, I found an orthomolecular doctor who did help me. I don't even know how I found him. I went down the phone book and just said, okay, you're it. So this has been so, so, so enlightening. Thank you for your knowledge and all the good work you're doing in the world. I know you have a quiz for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's a thyroid quiz, you know, because again, a lot of people have been intrigued about this question, is that why they were chosen to have thyroid disorders or Hashimoto's disease? What is the root cause? Mm-hmm. So I kind of created this quiz so that they can answer just a few questions and they can give like some answers into that, why they got thyroid disorders, what are their potential root causes, because there's so many things that people have to work towards, right? And it can be overwhelming. So this quiz, they can know their major root causes and minor root causes. So at least they can start working on their major root causes and they'll be more aware of it.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Thank you so much for that. You're just doing such great work in the world. Thank you so much for being with us today. If you were going to leave us with one brain tip, what would that be?
So always, I'm a very big proponent of including some kind of stress reduction exercise on the daily basis. Mm-hmm. Nothing can beat that. Doesn't matter what supplement or what you do. So just something that you like or love doing, do that each and every day for your own self. You know, it doesn't have to be an hour or 2 hours, just 10 to 15 minutes. You know, read a journal, you know, cultivate a hobby or do some deep breaths or go out in the nature. Mm-hmm. So do something for your own self for 10 to 15 minutes. That is going to nurture your brain more than anything else.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Again, thank you so much for being with us today. You definitely want to get that quiz. We'll post the link here for you. And follow Dr. Gupta on his YouTube channel. He's got a best-selling book. We'll post that here too. And you certainly can book a consultation with him as well. If this is resonating with you, if you've had any of these kind of symptoms, you definitely want to reach out and get help and not wait. So again, thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Gupta. And everyone out there, hey, remember, follow your heart, but take your brain with you.